You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Hello and welcome to Money Control. This is Binu Panikkar and you're tuned into TechMate, our latest podcast series on the top developments in the world of technology. On this show, we'll be talking to experts on varied topics such as the latest gadgets you should own, what's happening in the world of artificial intelligence, and everything about the smart world. We are starting our series with a very special guest who has been in digital journalism for over 14 years. We have First Post technology editor Ankit Vengulikar, who will be talking to us about Apple's decision to shift its manufacturing base to India and what it means for the company and the Indian market. Hello and welcome to the show, Ankit.
Thank you, Binu. It feels really special and flattering to be on the debut show. And congratulations on this podcast.
Thank you, Ankit. Thank you. So tell me, Ankit, we all know Apple phones sell quite well in developed markets such as US. But they don't sell a lot in India. Why is that?
Have you seen the price tag? The longest standing and now so boring the joke around every new Apple iPhone release is, how many kidneys will you have to sell to buy this particular version of Apple iPhone? But it never ceases to capture people's imagination on Twitter or on social media. Now, Apple is, what they've done is very, very interesting and unparalleled in the world of technology. Okay. It is the world's most cash-rich company. It is the world's first, or America's first $1 trillion company in terms of market value. So clearly, they've created an immense amount of value for the shareholders, for the company, and of course, in the lives of customers as well. I am a reluctant Apple fanboy, is what I like to call myself, because my office laptop is a MacBook Air. My personal laptop is a MacBook Pro. I use an Apple iPhone XS along with the Google Pixel 3 because I have to be on both bandwagons, you know, considering I'm a technology journalist. And I have an iPad for my daughter. So hence a reluctant Apple fanboy. Even though I'm totally into the ecosystem, I still consider myself on the fringe because I'm not blind towards the brand. I call their bullshit out for what it is. Like, for example, there was this huge furore over keyboards, you know, keys on their brand new MacBook Pros, which are $1,000, $1,500 machines. These keys were just popping out of the keyboard. And it was a terrible problem. And Apple, in very atypical Apple fashion, where they don't really, they never own up to their mistakes.
Okay.
Apple always says, oh, but you're holding it incorrectly. Oh, but you're using it wrongly. You know, because we are Apple, we are God, and we do everything correct. So Apple finally actually acknowledged the issue and they were like, hey, bring it in. We'll turn it around and repair it free of cost in 24 hours in the United States. In India, it's a whole different ballgame because we don't have Apple officially here. We have it through third-party retailers.
Okay.
Through distributors like Ingram Micro, through Reddington, through Reliance Digital, and you know, these third parties, because single brand retail, single brand FDI in retail is still disallowed in India, right?
Yeah.
It's not allowed. And Apple has been one of the front runners in coaxing and convincing the government that, hey, come on, now's a good time. We really want to, you know, show these shiny blingy things to your 1.3 billion people. So please allow single brand FDI in retail. Nobody knows what the future holds for that or when that's going to come. But the fact of the matter is Apple iPhones are extremely expensive in India. Not just by sheer price tag, but even in comparison to the United States or neighboring countries like Dubai or, you know, Hong Kong or Singapore. iPhones in India cost 10 to 25,000 rupees more than the exact same model in neighboring countries. And there's, I mean, they use the excuse of, oh, but the taxes are so heavy and import duty and all of that. I call bullshit on that. I call bullshit on that because if you want to make a mark or a dent in the premium smartphone space in India, you have to, in a way, subsidize that endeavor. Now, whether that means that, okay, if you don't make that chunky $200 profit by selling every iPhone and maybe you keep it $200, but you subsidize the cost of entry into the Apple iPhone universe for the Indian customer. To me, it sounds like a sound business decision. To Tim Cook and team, clearly it does not.
So how much do you think you should subsidize iPhone cost?
Well, that totally depends on which model we are talking about.
Okay.
I think for parity, an Apple iPhone should cost near about the same everywhere in the world.
Okay.
So you know, it's a fair expectation.
Around 70,000 rupees in India also.
That's a very fair expectation. We're not expecting them to give it to us for half the price.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Why will anyone do that? They're not running a charity. They're running a business.
Yes.
And one of the world's most successful and legendary businesses. So, I'm all for that. But what I'm not for is, you know, this bizarre tax structure or using it to inflate prices and to sell that in India. So, we've been asking this for a while as technology journalists. We've been asking Apple why so, and they keep giving us the same shtick about, you know, oh, but the regulatory and tax and all of that. But I think it's about time, because what's also happening globally is very, very interesting, Bino. And also in India, the most sold premium smartphone in India, as per reports by IDC and Counterpoint, which are analysts that track the space, is the OnePlus 6T. Okay. 60. The OnePlus 6T costs one third of the Apple iPhone.
Yes.
So for the price of one Apple iPhone, you can basically buy two and a half or three OnePlus 6Ts. And what has happened is, because of democratization of software and hardware features and economies of scale, there's very little discernible difference now. I'm not saying that, you know, iPhones and OnePlus 6Ts are, what do you say, competitors to each other by virtue of who they are. Because it's like comparing a Mercedes-Benz S-Class to... let's say a Baleno. Exactly. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Individually, they're fantastic cars, but you can't compare a premium product to a rather mainstream product.
Yeah.
Baleno is trying to be the Mercedes-Benz for the mainstream commuter market. You're getting what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So OnePlus is trying to be the ultimate pinnacle of premium experience, smooth, fast, gorgeous design, great camera, you know, up-to-date software updates from Google and all of that. And they are doing that at a price which is a comfortable 45,000 rupee price segment, which itself is a departure from what OnePlus started off at, which was a 20,000 rupee price point about 5 years ago.
But they still hold a lot of value for the money, right?
Massive. Also, what's happening is a customer in India doesn't mind investing 40,000-45,000 rupees and considering that, okay, I'm going to use this for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
Refresh rates and refresh cycles for customers, by the way, are dropping down. They used to be 3 years in the day and age of Nokia and BlackBerry and all of that. Then they were about 2 years. Now, you know, some of the estimates from industry reports, they suggest that between 12 to 18 months is the refresh rate, especially for premium phones. So, which means, because within 6 months, you have a completely new generation of technology. There are generational shifts that are happening in 6 months that used to take a couple of years earlier.
Yeah.
So, every 6 months, there's a new wave in terms of the structure of how much nanometer the architecture of the processor is, or the capability of AI, or the camera megapixels and processing power.
The thinning of the bezels.
All of it. Every 6 months, we're seeing an industry-defining trend, which is crazy, right?
Yeah.
So what happens then is the proposition of an Apple iPhone that what am I getting for three times the price? Am I getting a three times better experience? I am not. Because for one third the price, I'm getting so much of a phone in the Android ecosystem. So then Apple's explanation has always been, and which I respect them for, they are like, for your journalistic purpose or your YouTube views, you may compare us to OnePlus. But we are a premium phone maker. So we consider that our product prices are completely justified for the kind of product offering we have.
So you're saying Apple is not doing well in India because it does not provide value for the money.
The customers today, Binu, are absolutely brilliant. And everybody says that Indians won't pay for something expensive. This is a typical trope, right?
Yeah.
Typical stereotype of, oh, but Indians are price conscious. We are not price conscious. We are value conscious.
Exactly.
You give us great value in 1 lakh rupees and people will line up to buy that product. But you don't deliver that value and people will settle for something which is half the price but has better value.
Okay. So Apple's CEO Tim Cook says he's very bullish about India. But at the same time, he admits that the company is facing challenges here. What is Apple doing about the sluggish sales in India?
So as of now, as of December 2018, Apple's market share in India is 1.2%. 2%. It's single digit and it's single unit number. It's 1%. That's it. It's the world's largest technology company in the world's second largest smartphone market. Okay. And just for context, within the premium segment, which is considered 30,000 or 25,000 rupee and above, OnePlus commands a 35 to 40% market share. So OnePlus is about 35-40%. Apple is at 1%. And of course, on number two position is Samsung with their Galaxy lineup, which is, I mean, they've been hitting it out of the park with reliable design and everything. Look at Samsung. Look at their pricing. The brand new Galaxy S10, they have three models in that. There's E, there's S10, and there's Plus. The E is priced at 55,000 rupees, Bino. It's so accessible. It's a top of the line flagship product, but they also know that they're getting rogered by OnePlus at the bottom end of the pyramid. So they better keep it accessible. So 10,000 is what they think they can command as a premium for the Samsung brand value, which I think is very sensible and very respectable. 55k for this year's latest flagship with all the latest features, that's very sensible pricing. Pricing where you know the Indian customer, it reflects that. Okay, so now while they are at single digit market share, they have always said that we are not a volume player in the Indian market. And frankly, I have to give that to them. Even today, when it comes to innovation, when it comes to whether, you know, scientifically or academically it's true or not, but the market and customer perception is such that Apple makes the most innovative hardware. Apple makes the simplest and the easiest to use hardware, be it the iPhones, be it the iPads, be it iPods. Nobody uses iPods anymore, or they don't sell it anymore. Be it the Apple Watch. Everybody thinks that if it's classy, it's elegant, it may be pricey, but hey, class doesn't come cheap. You know, these are all the things we hear from customers. So they've been struggling, and they've been struggling largely because of how well Samsung and OnePlus have been doing in the premium segment in India. And for the longest time, everybody's analysis, I don't understand how everybody tries to oversimplify the Apple conundrum in India. They're like, oh, all they have to do is halve the prices of their phone. But no, you won't do that. Yes, Mercedes-Benz wants to sell more cars in India. But does that mean that their 1 crore flagship, the S-Class, are they going to sell it for 50 lakh rupees? They're not going to do that. Because that's not the company's ethos. It's not the value. It's your flagship. It's only meant for people who are creme de la creme. It's not meant for everybody. So Apple doesn't want to sell to everybody. But the other good thing is, every time a new phone comes, previous generation phones keep getting cheaper. And the reason Apple is so reliable is even a four-year-old iPhone 6S Plus continues to get the latest iOS, which is a software update, to the T, and continues to behave as a brand new fresh phone with all the latest software features. So the hardware is future proof to the tune of 5 to 6 years. So you can still buy a 5-year-old or 4-year-old Apple iPhone, which is now at about 30,000-35,000 rupees, which is the OnePlus you know, segment or category of customers, and they get the latest software experience which all the new iPhones get. That's Apple's justification. That's their business model. You can't fault them for it because it works for some folks. For some people who are like, I want an Apple iPhone in my pocket and in my life, they can always buy the previous generation phones with the latest software experience. That's their justification for not coming up with a cheaper iPhone.
But Apple must be looking at selling iPhone X, its flagship phone, right? So what are they going to do about selling that?
Well, so for flagships, Apple is banking on the fact that India is seeing a record number of millionaires grow day by day, month by month. Money Control keeps reporting on these figures all the time. Forbes comes up with the list of, you know, who's amassing how much wealth. The biggest dividend that India has is our demographic dividend. And even our small niche runs into the millions. Apple is only focusing on that. For them, the effective market size is not 1.3 billion people. For them, their effective market size is a few million HNIs. high net worth individuals. Mm. So they don't care if the market is 1.3 billion people because they are not making Nokia 1100.
Mm-hmm.
They are not making feature phones. So they don't care about that absolute number at all.
Mm.
So they are only gunning for that a few million HNIs, mm. and which I think they don't need to lower the prices, Binu.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to. Mm-hmm. Because the minute they lower the prices, the HNI crowd won't buy it.
Okay.
Because suddenly it becomes a product for the masses.
Yes.
So you've estranged your heavily invested HNIs who've been buying your product generation after generation because they really believe in your ecosystem and they believe in your brand mm-hmm. and what it stands for.
Mm-hmm.
If you dilute it by reducing the price,
mm-hmm.
you risk losing this dedicated, devoted community of customers.
Yeah.
Apple knows this all too well. They're the smartest brains in the world.
So, Apple will not remain the Rolls Royce of smartphone anymore.
Which is a coveted position. No matter how hard OnePlus tries,
mm-hmm.
it's virtually impossible to dethrone Apple from that perception pedestal it's on.
Okay.
You know?
So, when Apple was rumored to be shifting its manufacturing base to India, the biggest talk of the town was that, you know, the products will get cheaper in India. Okay, is it true?
So no one knows this because I don't work for the government and I don't work for Apple. We are observers and we're keen observers of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not make that immediate extrapolation.
Okay.
Neither would I try to, you know, take that inference out of it so easily.
Yeah.
Because yes, they will save on custom duty, mm. import duty. Mm. They will save on that.
Mm.
So there will be a marginal saving over there.
Okay.
But there's no way to know or decide that Apple will pass on that benefit to the customer.
Okay.
Apple might just want a bigger, fatter paycheck for itself.
Yeah.
And you can't fault them for that. It's their business. They run it the way they want it or they deem fit.
Hmm.
So there's no way to know
okay.
whether the phone's going to get cheaper and by how much, whether by $100 or lesser or more.
Okay.
Customers are hoping for it.
Hmm.
And clickbaity websites are writing speculative articles about it.
So let's get a bit deeper into Apple's strategy. The company has always positioned itself as a premium brand, while Indian customers generally focus on value for money. At what price point do you think Apple products can start appealing to Indian customers without shedding its premium image?
So like I've already said, I think Apple iPhones should just be priced on par
okay.
with the global pricing.
Okay.
Today, a person who can buy a 1,25,000 rupee Apple iPhone XS mm-hmm. Can very well personally fly to a Dubai or a Hong Kong
mm-hmm.
and bring the iPhone, or will have a network of friends or colleagues or just like allies who keep traveling, and so you can get that phone from there.
Okay.
But it should just be on par with what the neighboring countries have. That's okay. personally what I feel.
Okay, so a shift in mass manufacturing in India will signal a big victory in the government's Make in India initiative. What are the challenges that Apple could actually face in manufacturing here?
When a company like Apple decides to extend its production base, right now, if you reverse your iPhone, you will see designed in California, assembled in China. In China, Foxconn is one of the major contractors that produces the Apple iPhone over there because of a very, very well-developed ecosystem.
Okay.
It's not difficult to assemble the phone in India.
Okay.
Not at all. Technologically, we are capable. But it's a very complex and layered affair.
Okay.
You know, it's not just about, okay, I've gotten everything, I just have to put it together. It's not a jigsaw puzzle. It's not that easy.
Yeah.
You need a network of local component suppliers to be able to bring the cost down.
Okay, but I think India has that, right?
Now it has.
Okay.
Foxconn has done incredible work over the last few years
okay.
with other brands, with Xiaomi, with Nokia.
Mm-hmm.
They produce their phones as well.
Yeah.
You know, so now the network of Tamil Nadu, Telangana, Hyderabad,
mm-hmm.
there's a fantastic ecosystem
mm-hmm.
of suppliers
mm-hmm.
that can provide other components that are required. Because remember,
mm-hmm.
you're not just manufacturing, you're also servicing
yeah.
phones that you've sold.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just keep running to Thailand or Vietnam or China
mm-hmm.
every time you want to do that.
Yeah.
So you first need to establish a reliable ecosystem of suppliers and component players.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that that growth has happened to a certain critical mass,
mm-hmm.
that's when a company like Apple will evaluate that, okay, can we do this?
Okay.
The second big thing is, what are the tax SOPs that we're getting from the government?
Yeah.
That's a huge chunk. And mm-hmm. Apple has been asking for a certain kind of tax rebate
mm-hmm.
for 15 years. The government mm-hmm. said, get out of here. We're not going to even even entertain this request. Yeah. So there's some to and fro, you know, push and pull that's happening over there. And most importantly, the economical environment of the country needs to be stable.
Okay.
You don't want surprises like a sudden demonetization or a sudden GST tax regime being tossed at a company that's investing billions of dollars, creating thousands of jobs. You don't want that kind of volatility.
Yeah.
Okay. So in a lot of countries, these special economic zones are buffered against political volatility. In India, that's not really the case.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure Apple is watchful of seeing what's happening in the environment. And obviously the contractor Foxconn, they're also doing the same.
Okay. So far, Apple has limited its key manufacturing activities to China. If the move to India materializes, does that mean that Apple is giving up on manufacturing in China altogether? If yes, why?
There's no specific word on that, but I also don't think it's that simple that only because they're shifting manufacturing to India, China is going to shut shop. Okay. Absolutely not. Have they faced a lot of issues with their manufacturing in Foxconn facilities in China? Yes. Okay. Have there been human rights violation by employing underage kids, making them work in sweatshop-like conditions and violating all kinds of human rights by international watchdogs? A lot of people have written about it. Absolutely, yes. Are there lawsuits against that? Yes. So they have a lot of cleaning up and housekeeping to do over there, and basically just following the law of the land. They need to make sure that happens, and they've really come down heavily on Foxconn to ensure that, you know, this sort of compliance happens.
Okay.
So Apple is a global player. They can't really have that kind of a bad rep.
Okay.
But we're only talking iPhone here, Bino. You and I don't know 2 years from now what new magical shiny gadget Apple is going to unleash on the world.
Yeah.
There's only one wearable it makes right now, which is the Apple Watch. We have no idea what they're going to do in the virtual reality or augmented reality space. We have no idea what they're going to do in the electric vehicle space.
We're soon entering 5G.
We're soon entering 5G. We have no idea what their play with Internet of Things and other devices is like. So I don't think they will ever shut a production unit somewhere. They may repurpose it for the brand new SKU. And we may never be privy to that information because, as you know, Apple is one of the most tight-lipped and most well-guarded secret company in the world.
Okay, so that's a wrap on this episode. Thank you, Ankit, for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Bino.
If you have any feedback, suggestions, or you want any topics to be covered, send us an email on mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and update, please log on to MoneyControl.com.
This has been a Money Control presentation.